I guess with that, we'll kick off the net. I'll take that honor, if you don't mind, Charlie. This is K2IRT Net, Thursday Night Net from 8 to 9 o'clock. And it's an open net. Anybody want to join, please feel free to come right on in. And even before the net begins, we'd like to thank the owners and operators of the machine for letting us use the net, use their machine. So with that, I'll push it over to Abe. WP2PQR, KF2WR, the K2IRT group.
All right, very good, Andy. Let me just let it drop and see if anybody else would like to join. Okay, if anybody else wants, just drop on in anytime you want, and it'll be fine. Very nice crew over here, and you don't have to be a transit employee, just a person who lives in the city who enjoys the city. Very good, Charlie. Your satellite work and the space station, the International Space Station, I was finally able to get the, I lost it in my favorite places. Now I finally found a couple of them, and I just keep monitoring it, and occasionally I'll listen in. I got to set up my receiver and get the computer into here and get the desk all done. Like I was saying, telling Andy earlier, I had to do some work on the garage since there was some holes in it, and I had to patch it up. So I'll send it back to you. WB2PQR, sending it back to WB2YZX.
WB2PQR, WB2YZX, very good. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of satellite work the last week. It was a kind of a dry spell there for a while. I wasn't doing too much, and I had about a half a dozen in the last few days, and it's a lot of fun. It's it's challenging. It is kind of challenging, and that's what makes it fun, to tell you the truth. And it's really a new dimension for me, something I really hadn't tried till a few years ago. But that's the fun thing about this hobby. Always a couple of new things to try, and I've been doing a lot of the digital modes lately, and 10 meters opened up last week, had a nice sporadic-y opening on there, and that's always fun. So I have enough toys to keep me busy here, and I'm looking at a picture of Andy right now. He turned me on to this Facebook website. I've been playing with that quite a bit, and came across a lot of people I haven't hooked up with 30 some odd years. So it's a lot of fun. Thanks, Andy. Over to you. KF2WR, WB2YZX.
Yeah, my pleasure on that Facebook thing, Charlie. I got friends of mine coming out of the woodwork, like you said. It's been 30 years, 20 years since I've talked to these guys, you know. We were playing sandlot baseball back in the day. And now they're, you know, catching up with me on Facebook and seeing them with pictures of their kids and stuff and just having a ton of laughs. That's without a doubt, you know. So I'm sitting here right now, the whole flu pandemic, epidemic, whatever we're going to call it here. I'm sitting here doing flu research, and I found that this thing only lives for 72 hours. The virus lives for 72 hours when it gets on a surface. And I'm just I was trying to figure out if I should wash my gym gloves every time I go to the gym or not. So I figure I might just put them out in the sun and let the sun burn them up for a while each day. So that's what we're doing here in New Jersey. KF2WR, we push it over to AWB2PQR.
You know, back to this pandemic. Now, you did some research. You're saying that the thing lives only 72 hours. It's not an airborne virus. It is a virus that is basically you have to touch. But from what I understand, it's if you cough, it is an airborne virus. But if you touch it, and then you touch it to your mouth or eyes or nose, then you get it, and so on and so forth. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Abe. If somebody, you know, sneezes into the phone or sneezes on the hand and uses the phone, and you come by, you know, later on that day and you pick up the phone and you start using the phone and now you got the virus that's on your hand, it's just a matter of time before the thing routes into your body some way if you're not vigilant with the hand washing. So so it'll last 72 hours, depending on the type of surface temperature and humidity. Well, we all know good, warm, damp places, things last a long time. But they can come in anyway. So, again, it's pretty basic stuff. And the flu is better. The flu kills about 30,000 people a year in this great planet of ours. So I don't think this was too, you know, I just think it's more media hype than anything else. Back over to you, Ed.
Yeah, well, viruses are definitely virulent. I used to be the CBR NCO, Chemical, Biological, and Radiological NCO in the Army, and I know about the stuff. And you know, better to err on caution than anything else. I think after what happened previously on some other things, I think it all goes back to Katrina. Because Katrina, they didn't act quick enough, and then they reacted afterwards. They're trying to be proactive on something like this in case it was really a bad thing. Better to, you know, to err on caution than anything else, because it might be a regular flu and what have you. It is definitely it could be a lot worse. I know what's going on here. The other thing is, which is very, very interesting, is why in Mexico does the flu kill people and not over here, and it's the same strain.
We probably have a better early detection system and whatnot here. So I imagine it has a bit to do with when you're a semi-third world country, you don't have it available as we do to walk down the street to walk into an OR or an ER or something to get treatment, even if you think you have it. But then, let's just face it, the other thing is, there's just not enough doses of that Tamiflu, and what's the other one, Resilient or whatever it's called? There's just not enough of that to go around, so just hope for the best, and my plan is, if you get it, just hunker down and ride it out the best you can. We've all been sick before, and, you know, hopefully it'll come and go. They're saying also it's the people under 45 that it's the most lethal in. It's that under 45 group. Well, I'm glad I'm 46. I'll tell you that. I'm only 46 for like another 2 weeks. I'm glad I'm out of that category for one thing. Over to you, Charlie. WB2YZN.
W2SBR Mobile. All right, we got Steve in there. Good to hear you, Steve. And I'll throw it over to you in a second. I'll just converse of this swine flu business, this West Nile business, and, you know, I don't see people dropping dead from this, so I really can't get too excited about it. But, Abe, you're my age, actually a little older, I think, but I remember when we were kids, it was not uncommon. In fact, it was very common to get measles, mumps, chicken pox. Although that was, they were just stuffing it out about that time, too, but, and quarantine it, you know, but we've come a long way, so I'm really not too worried about it. I think I'll survive. So, Steve, over to you, W2FBR and the group, WB2YZX.
Yeah, good evening, gents. How you doing there, Charlie? WB2YZX from W2FBR Mobile, just going to grab some dinner, so I won't hang around in here. Well, I remember having the measles and the chicken pox, both of which were miserable. I never got the mumps, though, but chicken pox was for the birds, and the measles was no picnic. You don't see a lot of kids getting that stuff anymore. Unless they do, and I'm just way past that point, being 42. My kids are 13, 11, and 9, and thank God that they didn't get slammed with by any of that stuff. You know, vaccines are probably a lot better now, and the eradication factor is probably very, very high. So the only way to get a lot of this stuff into the country is by people from here traveling and picking up some crazy bubonic plague in another part of the world, or you got people coming over here who are knowingly or from a you know, a less than desirable third world situation, and then they spread it that way. So it's very hard to contain. You know, the world's become very, very small.
WB2YZX, WB2YZX, WB2PQR.
WB2PQR, WB2PQR. Please copy KF2WR. Hey, it's Andy in New Jersey. How are you?
How you doing, Andy? How's everything going? Yeah, I've been running around here, the holidays and everything else, so I haven't been able to get on. Is there going to be a net tonight?
Yeah, we'll most likely have a few people just to kick around here. The Master of Ceremonies is somewhere. I think he was trekking through the Grand Canyon today. He did a couple of day hikes there, last I heard. He's out there really enjoying himself, and I'm so glad for that. But, yeah, we'll probably get a few people here. I'm just sitting here getting my cup of tea all warmed up and getting the computer fired up. So, back over to you, AWB2PQR, KF2WR.
Oh, very good. Good to hear. Good to hear he's out there. We were out about 4 or 5 weeks ago we were out there. That is one hell of a sight to see. It's just an unbelievable thing. You know, we were on top of the Grand Canyon. He's probably on the bottom or looking up. But from the top down, it's just an unbelievable sight. Really is. Yeah, just relaxing over here too. I had some problems with my garage, so I was putting some tar paper on this afternoon. So in case it rains, it wouldn't get in. One of these days, I just been patching. Don't feel like doing the whole job, but one of these days, it's gonna happen. I gotta break down and do it.
Yeah, like most things, it's work, and none of us like to do that. Yeah, I was out there myself a few months ago. We get out there. We try to get out there at least every other year. We plan to relocate out to Arizona when the time is right. The wife and I. So we have our place planned. We already know what area we're going to live in. We have everything pretty much but the house picked out at this point. So we just got to wait to finish off a few more years here with transit before we head out that way. But, yeah, as you can attest, it's just a gorgeous place. And unless you've seen that Grand Canyon for yourself, you can't really describe it. It almost looks fake when you stand there.
That it does. Maybe to keep you up. That it does. We were, you know, we were driving around. We went from Las Vegas through the Hoover Dam and through these, you know, that took that route. And, you know, you really don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go into the park, you see a line of trees, and then you go after the line of trees, there's a hole in the ground, which is just like unbelievable. And the other thing is there was, on the way there, it was an airport. They had some old warbirds and they even had a ham shack over there with some of the old planes, and they had a nice old Constellation over there. I think that's one of the prettiest aircraft that has ever been made. But it's just an unbelievable. Well, put it this way, right now, you've got a good time to buy a nice property and a house in there and in that area. Very reasonable, considering everything else is so depressed.
Yeah, Georgia Report had that today, that the houses in the Phoenix area have gone past the half-off price. They've lost 50% of their value, and yeah, now would be the time to jump. We're actually giving it some serious consideration. You know, just something to buy to hold, even if we rent it on a loss, it's someday going to come back up. But, yeah, we're done with the snow, Abe. I'm just so done with the whole snow and all that. I can handle a little cold. That's not a problem. You get up in the higher elevations. We plan to be by Prescott, you know, which is a little bit west of Flagstaff. So it's over 5,000 feet up. But that's a little cold. But there's no snow, and that's a good thing.
Give me two Y's and X.
Okay, Charlie, we'll send it over to you. I tell you what, they got a nice ham fest in Flagstaff. Go ahead, Charlie, pick it up. WB2YZX, WB2P2R in the group.
All right, good evening, gents. Good day, you're on, Abe. And Andy, of course, I've seen quite a bit of you last few days, and hope we get a few more people in here. And I've never been to Arizona, but it sure sounds all right with me. Trouble is, I'm a city person, but that may change. Over to you, Andy.
Yeah, hi, Charlie, how are you? Yeah, that whole city person thing kind of changes pretty quickly when you get out there. It's just the vastness of it, the expanse of it, it's just so pretty, it's so calming. So if you do ever get a chance one day, it's one of the seven wonders. We also go out to Sedona. We have a timeshare in Sedona, which is probably one of the most beautiful places on Earth. The red rock formations and all that. It's a sight to behold. It's indescribable. That's why you have trouble describing it. At least I do, anyway. So definitely worth a vacation destination point. So I guess with that, we'll kick off the net. I'll take that honor, if you don't mind, Charlie. This is K2IR T-Net, Thursday night net from 8 to 9 o'clock. And it's an open net. Anybody wants to join, please feel free to come right on in. And even before the net begins, we'd like to thank the owners and operators of the machine for letting us use the net, use their machine. So with that, I'll push it over to Abe. WP2PQR, KF2WR, the K2IRT group.
All right, very good, Andy. Let me just let it drop and see if anybody else would like to join. Okay, if anybody else wants, just drop on in anytime you want, and it'll be fine. Very nice crew over here, and you don't have to be a transit employee, just a person who lives in the city who enjoys the city. Very good, Charlie. Your satellite work and the space station, the International Space Station, I was finally able to get the, I lost it in my favorite places. Now I finally found a couple of them, and I just keep monitoring it, and occasionally I'll listen in. I got to set up my receiver and get the computer into here and get the desk all done. Like I was telling Andy earlier, I had to do some work on the garage since there were some holes in it, and I had to patch it up. So I'll send it back to you. WB2PQR, sending it back to WB2YZX.
WB2PQR, WB2YZX, very good. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of satellite work the last week. It was a kind of a dry spell there for a while. Wasn't doing too much, and I had about a half a dozen in the last few days. And it's a lot of fun. It's, it's challenging. It is kind of challenging, then. That's what makes it fun, to tell you the truth. And it's really a new dimension for me, something I really hadn't tried till a few years ago. But that's the fun thing about this hobby. Always a couple of new things to try. And I've been doing a lot of the digital modes lately. And 10 meters opened up last week. Had a nice sporadic-y opening on there. And that's always fun. So I have enough toys to keep me busy here. And I'm looking at a picture of Andy right now. He turned me on to this Facebook website. I've been playing with that quite a bit. And came across a lot of people I haven't hooked up with in 30 some odd years. So it's a lot of fun. Thanks, Andy. Over to you. KF2WR, WB2YZX.
Yeah, my pleasure on that Facebook thing, Charlie. I got friends of mine coming out of the woodwork, like you said. It's been 30 years, 20 years since I've talked to these guys. You know, we were playing sandlot baseball back in the day, and now they're, catching up with me on Facebook and seeing them with pictures of their kids and stuff and just having a ton of laughs. That's without a doubt, you know. So I'm sitting here right now in the whole flu pandemic, epidemic, whatever we're going to call it here. I'm sitting here doing flu research. And I found that this thing only lives for 72 hours. The virus lives for 72 hours when it gets on a surface. And I'm just I was trying to figure out if I should wash my gym gloves every time I go to the gym or not. So I'm figure I might just put them out in the sun and let the sun burn them up for a while each day. So that's what we're doing here in New Jersey. KF2WR, we push it over to AWB2PQR.
You know, back to this pandemic. Now, you did some research. You're saying that the thing lives only 72 hours. It's not an airborne virus. It is a it's a virus that is basically you have to touch. But from what I understand, it's, if you cough, it is an airborne virus. But if you touch it, and then you touch it to your mouth or eyes or nose, then you get it, and so on and so forth. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. If somebody, you know, sneezes into the phone or sneezes on the hand and uses the phone, and you come by, you know, later on that day and you pick up the phone and you start using the phone and now you got the virus that's on your hands, it's just a matter of time before the thing routes into your body some way if you're not vigilant with the hand washing. So it'll last 72 hours depending on the type of surface, temperature, and humidity. We all know good, warm, damp places, things last a long time. But they can come in anyway. So, again, it's pretty basic stuff. And the flu kills about 30,000 people a year in this great planet of ours. So I don't think this was too, you know, I just think it's more media hype than anything else. Back over to you, Ed.
Yeah, well, viruses are definitely virulent. I used to be the CBR NCO, Chemical, Biological, and Radiological NCO in the Army, and I know about the stuff. Better to err on caution than anything else. I think after what happened previously on some other things, I think it all goes back to Katrina. Because Katrina, they didn't act quick enough, and then they reacted afterwards. They're trying to proactive on something like this in case it was really a bad thing. Better to, you know, err on caution than anything else, because, it might be a regular flu and what have you. It is definitely, it could be a lot worse. Definitely. I know what's going on here. The other thing is, which is very, very interesting, is why in Mexico does the flu kill people and not over here, and it's the same strain?
We probably have a better early detection system and whatnot here. So I imagine it has a bit to do with it. When you're a semi-third world country, you don't have it available as we do to walk down the street to walk into an OR or an ER or something to get treatment, even if you think you have it. But then, let's just face it, the other thing is, there's just not enough doses of that Tamiflu, and what's the other one, Resilient or whatever it's called? There's just not enough of that to go around, so just hope for the best, and my plan is, if you get it, just hunker down and ride it out the best you can. We've all been sick before, and, you know, hopefully it'll come and go. They're saying also, it's the people under 45 that it's the most lethal in. It's that under 45 group. Well, I'm glad I'm 46. I'll tell you that. I'm only 46 for like another 2 weeks. I'm glad I'm out of that category for one thing. Over to you, Charlie. WB2YZN.
W2FBR Mobile. All right, we got Steve in there. Good to hear you, Steve. And I'll throw it over to you in a second. I'll just comment first on this swine flu business, this West Nile business, and, you know, I don't see people dropping dead from this, so I really can't get too excited about it. But, Abe, you're my age, actually a little older, I think, but I remember when we were kids, it was not uncommon. In fact, it was very common to get measles, mumps, chicken pox. Although that was, they were just stomping it out about that time, too, but, and quarantine it, you know, but we've come a long way. So, not really, I'm too worried about it. I think I'll survive. So, Steve, over to you, W2FBR and the group, WB2YZX.
Good evening, gents.
How you doing there, Charlie? WB2YZX from W2FBR Mobile. Just going to grab some dinner, so I won't hang around in here. Well, I remember having the measles and the chicken pox, both of which were miserable. I never got the mumps, though. But chicken pox was for the birds, and the measles was no picnic. You don't see a lot of kids getting that stuff anymore, unless they do. And I'm just way past that point, being 42. You know, my kids are 13, 11, and 9, and thank God that they didn't get slammed with any of that stuff. You know, vaccines are probably a lot better now, and the eradication factor is probably very, very high. So, the only way to get a lot of this stuff into the country is by people from here traveling and picking up some crazy bubonic plague in another part of the world, or you got people coming over here who are knowingly or unknowingly sick from a less than desirable, third world situation, and then they spread it that way. So it's very hard to contain. You know, the world's become very, very small. That's for sure. So anyway, let me bounce it back to you, Charlie, because I don't know who it would go to or anything. I just got off the bus, and like I said, I'm going to bail out after this one. Just wanted to say good evening to everybody. And I'll be on my merry way here. Go and stuff my face. WB2YZX in the group. This is W2FBR Mobile.
All right, Steve. Bon appetit, and thanks for dropping in. So, I think Abe gets it next. Over to you, Abe.
All right, very good. That's what it is. It's become a small world, and I know what you're talking about, Charlie. We had all the childhood diseases ourselves, and what's interesting, then, Channel 7, Eyewitness News, quote-unquote, had an interesting article. They said they analyzed this strain of flu, and it's the same flu as the one that they had in about 1958. And that's why, well, the strain that they found over here, that's why they think a lot of the older people have been around, they've immunized themselves against it because, you know, they've had the bug. And honestly, I think a lot of people, if it wasn't for the media, they would just say, hey, I got a cold, I'm going to stay home for 2 days, I'm going to get rid of it and go back to work, and that's it. But, you know, the hype has just been just so much that everybody is going really berserk on this thing. I think it's the media is pushing it more than anything else. So I'll send it over to you, Charlie. You can pass it around. So we need to beat you up.
The shows you how crazy have gotten. The slaughter of all the pigs. And, just because it's called the swine flu, it can't even be proven that it's carried by pigs, but Skip is ordering the slaughter of all their pigs in the country anyway. So, talk about overreacting and being ridiculous. Go ahead, Charlie. That's it. That's my 2 farthings worth for the night. W2FBR Mobile. I'll be clear now. See ya.
All right, very good, Steve. Thanks for dropping by again. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of this is media. I think you get hit by a car before you die from swine flu. And I remember back, they had this swine flu thing popped up back in the 70s, in the mid-70s, and it was coming out with inoculations or vaccines for it. Then they found out the vaccine was causing paralysis and killing more people than the actual disease. So, whatever, as I said before, I'm not going to worry too much about it. KF2WR, over to you, WB2YZX.
WB2YZX in the group, KF2WR. I like Abe's theory there. I like the whole the Katrina theory. I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist myself. I like that. Government's going to definitely go way out of the way this time, if not to get caught behind the eight ball or something like that again. Nobody needs that kind of egg on their face. So I do like that, Abe. And I'm, with your permission, I'd like to run with that theory a little bit and just kick it around in certain circles. But way to go, fellas. I'm just poking here on the internet. The other one looks like it was in 1918. So I'm just going to sit here and poke around for a few more moments. With that, I'll throw it over to Abe, WB2PQRKF2WR.
Go right ahead, Andy. And if you look at the 1918 epidemic, which killed local people, the answer to the thing is it just mutated and went away. There was no inoculations. There was nothing that could be done at that time. It killed the people, and then it just stopped. It wasn't like it was a Typhoid Mary, who, as soon as you got rid of her, you got rid of the cause of it. The epidemic of 1918 just stopped. And then they said it might be laying dormant somewhere just to come back up again. But in 1918, they never had all of the sophistication that we have today, which is good and bad, but there's also, I've got other theories about that Mother Nature has a way of cleansing the earth by going through cataclysms every couple of years. And if you notice that the Black Death, after the Black Death, everything started again, and they had the Renaissance. The Renaissance came up, and everything started, and we're right back to where we started, you know, in the Dark Ages. And that all started from the Black Death, because there was too many people, there was not enough food to feed all of the people that were there. And the Black Death took care of, I think that they said about 50% of the population. Then everything started back up again. But theories. WB2IZX, WB2PQR.
I remember, point, we had to take our tent halves and put them across the side of our bunk, so when we cough, the drip goes to the next bunk. You can cough.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Charlie. You're giving it out a little. Yeah, Abe, I'm a firm believer there with that theory you got. You know, in fact, like the whole global warming thing. Nobody ever mentions the way you stop global warming is, you know, half the population gone. You could burn tires for heat and energy, and it wouldn't matter at that point. But nobody ever mentions population as being the major contributor to global warming. It's just a taboo subject that nobody would reach. So WB2PQR, KF2WR.
Okay, I'll give you a better one. Let me let it drop for a second. Do you know that if you stopped all the cows from farting, belching, you would do away, would be the equivalent of doing away with all the carbon dioxide and all the bad chemicals from every car in the world? WB2IZX, WB2PQR.
I will reserve comments on that. Yes, but I understand they spent millions of dollars trying to figure all of that out. But, what are you going to do? We must have cars. I mean, we got to make Big Macs out of something. So, over you, Andy.
Answer for that one, too.
Fine business on the cows, Abe. Maxim magazine actually had some photos in it going back about 3 months ago, where they took, you know, a cow has a two-part stomach, and they actually put a hole in the side of the cow to take the gases, to measure the amount of gas that comes out of the cow. And they had these cows, the photos of these cows walking around in the pasture with these big, giant, looked like inflated garbage bags that were on the cows. And those were capturing the methane and other gases the cow released so they can measure its volume. And it was a tremendous volume, each one put off per unit. It was unbelievable. So they also said that there was on Drudge Report the other day, that there's a whole group blaming overweight people for the whole global warming. Not only from the gases they emit, but the fact that it takes so much more energy to move them from point A to point B that they waste energy. I mean, this stuff will just never stop. But I guess it keeps it interesting. WP2PQR, KFNWR.
Very good, Andy. You kind of answered my question. What I was going to say to do is put on the back side of all the cows, put a big, like a balloon or a big bag, and then capture all of the methane. And then the methane, you take it, and then you put it and recycle it and use it to run the cow pastures and have you. They do have it. There's a farm outside Minnesota somewhere that at the top of the barn collects all the methane gas, pumps it into a container of some sort, and then they use that to run electric generators. And what they do also with the feces that fall down, they clean that up and they use it for fertilizer. So it's a never-ending thing, but I am a firm believer that man is a parasite. He will use up for one thing and then go to take another and then find somewhere else. And that's that. And we see what happens after that. But you notice that there's always an out, and somebody comes up with something to repair the problem. I'm sure they already have it, but maybe due to economics, they don't want to use it. WB2YZX, WB2PQR in the group.
WB2PQR, WB2YZX. Well, I got to admit, this conversation is a little bit different than the ones we're used to, and it's kind of a nice change of pace here. And actually, I have the computer on here, and I was kind of I do a little googling here, and I won't read the question in front of me here, but guy mentions White Castle hamburgers, and well, you can figure out the rest. Hope you answered. What do you think, too wise at it?
Now, White Castle hamburgers will be the ultimate recycling fuel. Oh, man, that is just too funny. Hey, how low can we actually take this? WB2PQR, KF2WR.
As far as not being able to say the five deadly words, which is very interesting. That's another interesting topic that you can get into besides ham radio. We all know if we want to get into ham radio, somebody wants to talk about it, we can go into it. But as long as you don't say the five deadly words, you won't get fined. But now what's interesting is you cannot say the dirty words, but you can say the medical equivalent of the word, and it's fully okay. So, you know, it's really crazy. And also, another nice topic to talk about is if you look at all the game shows from 7 o'clock to, I think, to 8 or 7 to 9. If you remember back in the 70s, they had the Moral Majority was there, and all the kids were watching TV, so they had to have some prime shows on. So everything now is into ET, into game shows or what have you, so the kids can't get into the bad other shows. Yet some of these kids can teach us lessons. WB2YZX, WB2PQR.
WB2PQR, WB2YZX. Okay, very good. I've got two more check-ins tonight. This is is there anyone else who would like to check in for the K2Y? We have a person that you expect to have someone from the medical team. Please do so now.
B2BQ check-in.
Okay, Val, very good. We could use a breath of fresh air here. How you been, K? KB2VQ, WB2YZX.
Going fine, YZX.
KB2VQ. I just came in on the cow part, so I don't know exactly what the conversation was about, but you can bring me up to date. I just came in. KB2VQ, back over to you, YZL.
Over to you.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Bravo Golf, Henry over. Who are you? This is Kilo Victor Bravo Golf, Henry over.
Kilo Charlie 2, Victor Bravo Golf. Hold on a second. Hey, Val, Andy, KSWR. Nice to hear you in there. Yes, and cow gas was the topic of the discussion. So, I don't know how we got there, just talking about global warming and whatnot. But let me push it over here to KC2VBG.
This is KC2, Victor Bravo, Golf Henry.
Hey, Henry, how are you? John, I'm going to pick it up. You were in and out a little bit there. Henry, how are you? Name here is Henry. Andy, I'm trying to write and speak at the same time. Name here is Andy. This is the K2IRT Thursday Night Net. We're a group from the New York City Transit. You don't have to be a transit employee to join. Everybody's welcome, as you are right now. Come on in and say hello. KC2BBG, KF2WR, the K2IRT group.
I'm saying hello because this is my first one, and I just come up with this on Saturday, and I just want to know what's out there and if anyone can hear my CQ very loud and clear.
You're doing a fine job into the machine there, Henry, a little hash, but definitely you're making the machine. Where are you located?
Located at 106th Street in Manhattan. And,
I got the 106th Street in Manhattan. What avenue?
Street in Manhattan. On 14th story, looking over the Queensboro Bridge.
Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. I'll put you right in your rotation. You're making the machine without a doubt, and if you want to just add anything in, feel free. So at this time, we're going to go right back over to the top of the list, and that will be over to Charlie. Charlie, if you could turn up the power, that would be greatly appreciated. When you're in, you're in, but when you start, when you're out, you know how that goes. WV2YZX from KF2WR.
That's pretty good. That's what's causing that. I'm running this one. I'm on the 440 side. So, just for last, I'm going to switch antennas. I'm on the egg beater now. Now I'm on the Yagi with the DSL antennas, so they're not the best things in the world. Is this any better?
Try backing down your audio. You might be a little bit too loud.
I think the egg beater was better.
This is KD2, PPG.
I don't know what happened to Val, if he's not making his machine or what. Anyway, let me give it a tip. WB2PQR, WB2YZX.
KB2VQ, am I making it?
Oh, you certainly are. We'll pass it on to you. WB2PQR, you can have it.
Okay. I was just trying to get the gist of it. I know about the cows. But nobody ever say anything about all the satellites that go into space. I mean, a big flaming satellite, I don't know how many billions of BTUs with flames shooting out, that must be doing something to the ozone level. Roger?
Okay. Now you brought up another very, very interesting topic. Let me see if I have it. They did some calculations after 9/11, there was no air traffic in the United States, and they checked out that the aircraft was also causing a lot of problems with the ozone because they were emitting the gases. They didn't have too far to go because they're already up in the air. And they took readings prior, during, and after, and when they resumed, and they noticed that there was quite a significant difference in the emissions. So that's, you're right on that. And what about, other things? When we were flying to the moon, the moon's gravitational pull would be changed by the added weight. It might be infinitesimal.